God.
Amen. I kind of like that song, "This Is How I Fight My Battle." Your life, you just, you know. And, you know, the biggest thing is you can't fight the battles up here. You know, like I said, faith goes beyond any kind of feelings or any kind of fear. Faith is a producer. And that's just simply saying, "Here, God, it's too big for me." And, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, you're not trying to fix everything all night long in your sleepless night in your mind, because you're not going to fix it. You can be as sleepless as you want to be, but God is the one that's going to turn the hands of time. And we got to learn just to look towards Him and trust Him. So tonight, we're going to believe that God has got our lives under His control, and all these little issues in our life that we can't quite understand why, that God is the fixer. He's the author and finisher. Doesn't always happen when we want it to happen immediately, does it? You know, sometimes there's just a little bit of time that we kind of struggle a little trying to figure out what God is doing. But, you know, Lord always says that He has our best interests in His heart and in His mind. In the book of Psalms, 107 and verse 20, it says this: "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Now, I don't know about you, but God is the one that sends His word, right? I mean, you know, we got to get to a place where we begin to understand that there's something that's really important in our life. There's something that's majorly important that we've got to consider and constantly look to. And, you know, he talks about how His word, He sent it, and it healed them. If you're looking for something in your life and you're trying all kinds of things and things aren't working out, obviously you're looking in the wrong place. But if you're looking towards God, if you're looking towards His word, you're going to find what God has. You're going to find healing. And we're going to get into it just a little bit tonight. But I want to share another scripture with you in the book of John, chapter 6. And verse 63 says this: "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Now, I don't know about you, the flesh profits nothing. So you're not going to figure out how to do it. In fact, you're not going to know how to do it. That's what God wants. He wants us to go to Him, and He wants His word to begin to give us something that gets a direction and a purpose within our heart. It begins to cause us to look towards or to do or to take some steps or to do nothing. Leave it in His hands. And, you know, like I said, part of the hardest things to do is wait on God. You know, we see all these things going on, and God wants us to wait on Him. But, you know, if you have a Bible, and one of the things that really hit me as I was sitting there and reading, and as I was just reading in Matthew and a few other places, but in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "And He answered and said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And so, you know, what I find is that God's word is better than anything that you and I could ever understand, ever do, ever pursue. You know, it talks about His word being such a thing that, you know, it's better than bread. It's better than a substance. You know, he said, "I have food you know not of." And God begins to talk about the bread of heaven, that is able to give life to the whole entire world, that is able to give us life, it's able to give us purpose, it's able to do these things. And so, you know, one of the things I begin to understand is that a lot of problems that people are being overcome by are because they're not spending enough time listening to what God's saying within His word. They're not hanging on to, they're not obeying, they're not taking steps, they're not spending this time where God begins to straighten out what they're thinking about. They're spending more time in their thinking than listening to God. You know, when God said, you know, when Jesus said it's finished, what was it? Finished. You didn't have to do anything anymore. He did it. What we cannot do, weak as the flesh is, he did. And, you know, we got to understand that the flesh is weak. The mind, the natural mind, isn't subject to the laws of God. You know, that the Spirit of God is something that when the Spirit of God begins to move on something, it begins to happen, whether it's dividing water or whether it's raising up somebody from the dead. And so it's important that, you know, man doesn't live on bread alone. And so words, God's words, are life-changing. In other words, if you want circumstances to change, it's the Word of God that changes them. They're life-changing. And so we see something that it not only just changes things just a little bit, it brings things into our life that we've always desired. I don't know about you, but I've desired a lot of things. And as I begin to seek God, things move in such a way where he begins to meet my desires. And so he's the one that is there. That's why he created us. He created us to love us. He created us to walk with him. And he created us to have fellowship with him and to communicate with him. And, you know, God's word is that which creates. And so, you know, when I think about some of these things, you know, it kind of lets me know that me, my, and I aren't going to get it done. And that's where I spend a lot of my time. I don't know about you. Me, my, and I. I need, I want, I think, you know, I look. And you know, I just, as you listen to people's conversations, a lot of times the ones that are really good are the ones that talk, you know, Jesus said, not I want or I think. And, you know, as it comes down to that place, you know, happiness and peace and all these things, you know, satisfaction, there's only one way to get it. You know, if you're looking for something in life, you have to look in the right place. Now, I better not go there. No, I ain't going to go there. That one's going to bring up too much. I might end up wasting time on that one. But God wants to make us happy. You understand? I mean, you know, he wants us to look in the right places. You know, I can tell you that. I know a lot of people that, you know, they were lonely, and God tells them to look for a mate. He tells them to look for somebody that believes, someone that has a call in their life. And some people, they just can't wait long enough to look, and so they start looking in the wrong place. I want to tell you, you're not going to find a precious fish in the cesspool. You find saugers, bottom feeders. And God has to change lives before you want to, you know, I mean, God can take a bottom feeder and turn them into a precious trophy. No doubt about that. But there's times where God wants us to look. And he begins to show us how to do that. And he begins to show us through his word. And you can never go against God's word. I don't care whether it's with the company you keep or trying to mix a gray area or what these things. I mean, you know, if you've got a gray area in your life, I want to tell you, there's a lot that the enemy can still play with. And so what he wants us to do is he wants us to constantly come before the word of God. Like he says, it's like a mirror. Begins to explain a lot of different things. I want to go to the book of Exodus. I want to, you know, I just want to read a couple verses to you, but it's important that, you know, we see in chapter 8 and verse 1, you know, Moses was going before Pharaoh. And, you know, God had called Moses, didn't he? I mean, you know, God saved Moses as a child, raised him up in the right place because God knew what he was doing, fulfilling all prophecy, all purpose. And all of a sudden, you know, we see the deal where he killed the guy and he had to run away and go hide. Now God's calling him back to go set his people free. And so he's telling him to go to Pharaoh, and he had every kind of excuse in the book. But he did want the Lord more than anything. He did want to hear God. And so, you know, he finally did. And so here we come to this place In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me." Some translations say worship me. But God gave him a purpose to set his people free. Now, we see again, I'll read one more quick scripture to you in 10. In verse 3, it says this, "And Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." So we come to this place where, you know, God's heart has always been and will always be in your life, my life, and anybody else. His desire is to set us free. Set my people free. That's always been God's will. So, you know, I don't know about you. If there's anything contrary to, well, you don't know how hard it is. Well, it might be hard, but it ain't too hard for God. You understand? I mean, we got to get into the right ballpark here. You know, you can't be in yourself because you can't live on bread alone, and me, I, and my doesn't work. So as you begin to get into the things of God, God has a plan. And, you know, I mean, we all know the story. I'm not going to get into the depth story because it's just too bizarre on all the things that he did to show Pharaoh, and Pharaoh kept going on. He wanted us to be able to serve him. Now, a lot of people, they go to church. That's what they do. They think going to church is serving God. Going to church is good, but God wants you to serve him. He gave you a job. He done these different things. He put you in a place, and that is your ministry. That's a place to serve him. God has, you know, I mean, I don't care if your feet are walking down the street. God wants us to serve him. That's what he called us. He wants us to be able to serve him wherever we might be. It's nice to be able to go to some of these places and be a representative for God. You know, it's important, but everywhere we go, that's what God wants. And so, you know, we look at a world that's really struggling. They're all caught up. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the words that God has, you know, to give them this thing that they've been desiring all their life, to find happiness, to find peace, you know, to find satisfaction. You know, how many people are satisfied with their life? I'm satisfied. You know that song, Satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus, fully satisfied. As you get to that place, you're going to be satisfied because God becomes so important. And so we get on. I want to read another verse to you in chapter 8. It says in verse 15, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief," because some of the plagues were there, "and he said, go pray for me that it won't happen." So he went and prayed. Moses went and prayed. Said, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said." the Lord had said, "and the plagues of the insects." Now, again, you can go down to verse 32 and you're going to see this. It says, "And Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go." You know, we see that God doesn't harden our heart. See, when we refuse to listen or we refuse to go to God, we refuse to talk to God, we refuse to get information from God, we harden our own heart. When we turn our back on God, I don't know about you, but, you know, way back when, God, he tried to reach me many, many, many times, and I just kind of say, well, you know, God, not yet. And so what happened to Pharaoh is happening to people all around us today. Because he didn't listen to God, he reaped what he got. He was reaping from this hard heart that refused to listen to God. And so I don't know about you, that kind of tells me a story. I mean, God, I've kind of been, we've been there where there's been almost like plagues, you know, but, you know, God always has an answer. And you know, it's important that we begin to see some things that God doesn't want us to reap bad times. So Pharaoh, definitely, he reaped what he sowed. And he didn't quit. I mean, God absolutely destroyed the nation because they would not listen. Well, I want to tell you something. That's dangerous to stand there and say, God, I don't want to listen. Not because, I mean, because God has our best interest. That's why he's trying to talk to us. That's why he's trying to say, you know, let my people go. He wants us to be able to serve him. And so here we are. We're in this particular place. And, you know, as we go on from there, you know, the word of God is so precious. When God speaks, we got to understand that, I mean, God's word is precious. It is able to create from nothing something. You know, no one can create something from nothing, but God can. And faith can produce these things that God talks about. How many ever kind of lay in bed and have a little sleepless nights, or they're really kind of going through a few struggles in their life because they can't quite understand what's happening? You see, God says that he can give us peace. Now, there's a lot of other voices that are going to try to get in there, isn't there? And so we've got to begin to understand that God's word brings something. So where do we want to? We want to go to God's word. And God is there that, you know, I mean, we see these things. God renews. God renews our heart. God renews these things. But he says this. He talks about, I urge you by the mercies of God. We all know that one in Romans, to present yourself to God as a living sacrifice acceptable to God. And he wants us to be transformed. And how he transforms us isn't by me and my and I. So I got to find a way to get outside of myself, outside of my circumstances, and I got to get to God to hear what God has to say. You know, because in his word, as you look at his word, I'm going to tell you, we're going to go down to Psalms. Psalms 19. And I'm going to start reading just a little bit in verse 7, 8 and 9. I'm going to read 7, 8, and 9. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now remember, when we obey God, when we look in Romans, it says that we're going to find out that it's perfect and it's good. In other words, it can't be better. And when we actually do it, we'll find out that it's good. We'll say that it's good. That's what's going to happen when we do it. But even in the Old Testament, it says the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect at what? Restores the soul. I don't know. This is this mental part of my body, this one sometimes that really I don't want it to direct me, God will restore it. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you would have known me back before 1973, this thing wasn't functioning very well. And you know, it's amazing what God can do. And so, you know, if we don't get to that place, he restores our soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure or perfect, making wise the simple. Now, I don't know about you. I want to kind of fit in there somewhere. Not just a little bit. I want it. And then it goes on in verse 8. It says, the precepts of the Lord are right, not wrong, not partway, not maybe. They're right. Rejoicing the heart. Wow. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. Now, every one of us needs the transforming power of God's word in our life. If you don't go there, you're missing something very powerful, very good. If you're not spending time looking into God's word and you're just coming and hearing a service or a sermon, it's not enough. You've got to find a time where you can begin to talk to God and get God's word and God's direction, because these are the things that God brings into your life on a personal level. You know, everybody's on a different place. Some really are struggling. Some are doing okay. You name it. But God has a lot of answers that he wants to do. And so he's got this transforming power in his word in so many different ways. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but he says, if you're seeking wisdom in a stressful situation, you need to go to my word. You need to look to me. So what are you doing? I mean, you know, usually the first thing people do is they're running to somebody, they're calling somebody, they're dumping. You know, they got all this heavy load. And so what they do is, you know, here's what a preacher told me one time. He said, you know, people are really something, you know. He said they come with all this garbage, just like a big old garbage truck. Oh, and they come and they just come to you. Oh, I got all this here. And all of a sudden they back up to you and they dump all that garbage in here. They walk away and here you are. Oh, I mean, you know, just like, wow, you know. God didn't make us a garbage truck. And it isn't just dumping garbage on people. God wants us to go to him and give him our life, our life situations. And then he wants us to look into the word of God because he wants us to seek this wisdom in this stressful situation. And he promises in this that he will encourage us. Now, I don't know about you. When God encourages me, it's a whole lot different than somebody says, oh, praise the Lord, brother, you're a good man. I'll tell you, when God encourages you, it's so much better than what any human being could ever do. God begins to restore our soul. And so, you know, I think about some of these things. When we're downhearted, that's exactly what he wants to do. In the midst of our hurting, he wants to encourage us. Where are you going to find it? In his word. If someone knows how to speak the word of God to you, it's good. It's really good when you get in there and you begin to search it out for yourself, too. I tell you, it's really nice nowadays that, you know, I'm not all impressed with technology, but, well, you can go to Google and you can ask Google questions about the Bible and God, and I want to tell you, it's going to put you in some really neat places. And so if you're struggling with something and, you know, I'm struggling and I need to know what God says, Google that. I'm telling you what. You are going to come up with all kinds of things to look at, and you're going to find your struggles in there, and God, through that, is going to encourage you. Google didn't do it because it's God's word. And so, you know, they've taken that information, and they've put it in there, but it begins to lift us up when we're down, and it begins to give us guidance on, I don't know, God, how do I move on from here? God gives us guidance how to go forward, not backwards, not just standing still. God gives us guidance on how to go forward. And so, you know, what is the word of God? I tell you what, man doesn't live on bread alone. But you're going to be pretty hungry for spiritual things if that's all you're doing is just natural things. If you're not getting into the word of God, you're not being fed spiritually. You're not finding these answers that God has. And he talks about it as being perfect. So God wants us to be able to move forward. He wants us to be able to find help, the Bible says, when? In time of need. I don't know. God is perfect. I wish I was, but I'm not. And I need God. I need his word. Every day I need to sit and bask in his word. I need to begin to lift up different things and place things before him and look for God's guidance. But as you kind of look in these verses in verse 7, you know, it's important that the ordinance of the Lord or the precepts of the Lord, he talks about the law of the Lord is perfect. And it describes how, you know, it's been ordained by God. I don't know about you, it can't get better than that. Can advice get any better than from God, the mouth of God? I mean, just think if Pharaoh would have let the people go. You know, Egypt might not have been some crazy place today. You know, you think about some of these things that God is doing. And so, you know, we get to this place where it talks about it restores the soul. It rejoices the heart. I don't know about you. How many are looking for a little bit of joy in their life? Wow. God. That's where you're going to find real joy. Joy comes in the presence of the Lord. Joy comes in knowing that, you know, that God has some things in store. And, you know, it talks about that it even clears up the eyes. It talks about it being precious. It talks about it reviving the soul. Talks about it bringing wisdom. Talks about it bringing light to the eyes. And, you know, if you get down here just a little bit farther, I want to read verses, let me see here. I want to read verses 11 first. It says, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward." How many like to be blessed? How many like a little reward? You know, I don't know about you. You know, just talking to the two ladies back there, the one first time she came, but she's talking about her friend that years ago, you know, she had pulled her kids out of daycare, didn't know what she was going to do with it, and here comes this crazy lady and says, "I want to take care of your kids." I mean, she's like shocked. She didn't tell her that she didn't have anything and she needed help and all these things, but she must have told God because God told her. And here she comes. God answers. I don't know about you, that brings a little bit of joy that no one else can. God makes a way. And so, I don't know about you, you know, I mean, it's fun being part of the family, it's fun seeking, but, you know, on a personal level, we definitely need to pour these things out to God. We need to get what God has. God has to enlighten us. And then he talks about his servant is being warned, and keeping them, there's great reward. Now, we're going to read a couple more of those verses. "Who can discern his error or acquit me of hidden faults? Also keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted of great transgressions." Is there anybody here that doesn't have any shortcomings? Paul raised his hand. You know, it's amazing how, you know, God begins to show us. And he begins to keep us out of a little. I don't know about you, but, you know, one of my biggest problems is I've always had a big mouth. And sometimes I always had to say what I thought I had to say. And man, I want to tell you, my mouth has gotten me in trouble a zillion times. But you know, God has a way of telling you, it'd be better if you just shut your mouth. But he does it in a nice way. I can help you if you won't hinder something before I can change what you're looking for. You're just going to stir the nest. You know, see, we're always somebody that, you know, I mean, you get a little angry. You got to, you know, I mean, you ever know people like that? They get, you know, you know them. I mean, right off the cuff, they're going to talk to you. Sometimes you want to hear what they got to say, and sometimes you'd like to see them go, bye. And I don't know about you, but it's more fun to have them want you to be there than not want you to be there. And so God is able to take care of them and all these little things that they do wrong if you can just learn to love people and begin to do some of these things. See, God is the one that gets into these places way deep down inside, the things that we don't even know we're doing wrong half the time. Some of the times we're doubting God, and God just, he wants to keep these things. And so the Bible, you know, when we think about it, and you know, we've had some really good prayer, and God has answered some good prayer, done some good healing. Be praying for Titus. Titus, he's been going through it here a little bit. He had walking pneumonia, and he got big welts and everything. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's kind of messed up. So be praying for him. But we know God is going to deliver him. Amen. God's going to heal him, and so. You know, we see that, you know, reading in the Bible, you know, here we are, and as we're reading, God talks about reading and praying. So we read and we're praying in such a way that God, you know, God speak to me, you know, God, you know, and you get to this place where you just want to be in the presence of the Lord. See, then you begin to realize I belong to God, and then you begin to learn how to hear God's voice. You begin to turn away from some of these other little crazy things that are always trying to put all the pressure on and get you to think weird things. And God just, he talks about, you know, reading the Bible and praying in association with one another. You know, you don't just read the Bible just to read it to get information. You read the Bible and then you pray. You pray about some of these things it's talking about. And then as you begin to do that, as you're speaking to God and praying to God, then the natural response is that when you're talking to somebody, it's a two-way street. You want them to talk back. So you got to learn to not just keep talking. You got to learn to be silent for a little bit and begin to learn how to listen with your Holy Spirit inner man. You understand? I mean, God gave us a spirit, and that spirit knows the things freely given of him by God. And so he wants us to be able to shut the things of the world out and begin to get to this place where we can hear that. Thank you, Lord. All right. So, you know, David, as we get down into that verses 12 through 14, you know, it talks about who can discern his error and his faults and how he keeps his servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted. And it goes on, it talks about, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to the Lord. You know, we see that, you know, David, he not only read the word of God, but he always seemed to end it up with some sort of a prayer that God would begin to show him some things in his life. God, show me. God, I obviously things are going on and I don't quite understand, so God, show me. God, show me what's going on. And then he always ended things in a nice prayer. And Lord, let these things not rule over me. Let these situations or these thoughts, let them not rule over me. You're bigger than this, God. I mean, he had this prayer to God. You know, he always ended things in a prayer. That's what, when I read things about David, that's what kind of impresses me, that he doesn't just talk to God. He always ends it in a prayer like. And it's kind of amazing because, that you know, he gets into this place where, you know, keep my servant from willful sin. He knew that the only thing that really was really troublesome was willful sin that they didn't want to stop. You know, I don't know about you, we can have things going on in our life, but when we cry out to God, God help me, God set me free. You know, if we really don't want to be set free, that is the most dangerous thing that could ever take place in a person's life. Willful sin, just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh would not listen to God. And so all these things, there was no answer. There was no deliverance. There was no all the good things that God talked about. And so it's important that the only thing that can separate us from God is willful sin. And so God wants us to begin to see some of these things. And you know, we look to God from our heart, don't we? But David, you know, he when he talked about that, he meditated and, you know, about his word being pleasing in his sight. And then he talked about it. He said, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. He knew where things were going to change. I'll tell you, David was no perfect dude. He had some serious faults. But God was able to help him and straighten him out and correct his life and do some things through the processes of his life because he had that time that he spent with him. And, you know, I want to end with something that, you know, we think about this just a little bit, but willful sin separates us from God, from the closeness of Jesus, and that's what everyone really, really wants in their life. They're looking for the closeness of God. God is the one that brings things into being that we need so desperate. And so we see that we have a Redeemer. You know, the Bible says, my Redeemer lives. Do you believe that? Have you talked to God about that? When you're going through some situations, are you just constantly out of situation, or you are looking to the God that says, I am your Redeemer and I live? God wants us to begin to understand that he's the freedom maker. He is the rock. He is what we build everything on. He is the one that we can't be knocked down of after we begin to start building this life on him. And, you know, God doesn't waver. I don't know about you. Sometimes I can be wavering in a situation. I can just be kind of wavering back and forth. Is it or isn't it? Is it or isn't it? Is it or isn't it? God doesn't waver. He's just solid, and what God does is he brings an inner peace no matter what's going on. We just know. We know God. That's what Paul was talking about, knowing God. It's more important. I want to end with Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. I don't know about you. In those days, there was a lot of stumbling and couldn't figure out what and why. But then the light of the Lord lit up a little bit, and suddenly you can see something that you desperately want and need. God's purpose, God's direction. And in verse 20, it says, my son... Isn't it something how we can be playing in all this darkness and suddenly become a son or a daughter just like that? Just because we came into his presence, just because he said he loves us and he forgives us. And he accepts us just the way we are, and he says, I'm gonna work with you. I'm going to transform your life. My son, give attention to my words. That's one of the first things that comes across. Give attention to my words. You know, when I think about some of these things, having a crazy life, being in a family that was crazy. And you know, it's kind of funny because I'm sitting on the couch and my dad's passed out drunk, 35-year drunk, hated his guts, just gotten saved, couldn't figure out what was going on in my life. No one was there to tell me I got saved. I started reading the Bible just a little bit, only been saved for a couple of days. And I got the Bible and I'm sitting on there and my mom's there and I'm looking at it and I said, you know, Mom, this Bible is just crazy. It's stupid. I said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to this mountain and tell it to be removed in the sea, and it will be cast in the sea. I said, what person needs a mountain to be cast in the sea? This is really stupid. And all of a sudden, my dad goes, ugh. And a voice said, there's your mountain. It's been your mountain of trouble all your life. And it said, speak to the mountain. There was words to be done. I woke him up. I said, Dad, I know you don't want to be a drunk. You've gone to programs to try to be free and you've never gotten free. Jesus set me free. He can set you free. He prayed. Never took another drink 17 years, went to Bible school with me, turned into the most precious dad and father you ever want to see. He never was a good man until all of a sudden Jesus came. But, you know, the word of God, he said, my son, give attention to my word, incline your ears to my saying. When God says, speak to the mountain, speak to the mountain. If God says, shut your mouth, shut your mouth. You know, I mean, God knows everything. There ain't anything better. It's perfect. And it's exactly what I need to do in the situation. So, I mean, I could go on with these things forever. But it says, do not let them depart from your sight. Don't say, well, God, you know, I know. And I will later. How many have said that? And gone through a little bit of, ooh, hard time until later started catching up. Until you start obeying God. Until you start listening to his word. And so, it says, let them not depart, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. I know one thing more than anything else. My Redeemer lives. He changed my life. I don't want to go back to anything. I don't want to be caught in any lie. I want God to be Lord of all. And knowing is really important. Paul said, knowing is more important than wanting. Everybody wants, but God wants you to know. Know how, know when, know what. God wants you to know that they may know me. I'll tell you what, knowing Jesus is exactly knowing what he would do and what he wants is exactly. And so, you know, you see these people in the Bible that are doing good, that things are happening. And I say this, I sit there and I say, God, speak to me. I'm listening. God, speak to me. I don't know about you, if you want to know anything about life, do some time in God and in his word. God is going to speak to you. He's going to tell you how to straighten out whatever's going on. And, you know, maybe it might take a little while. I don't know. But you have to know always God is faithful. He is faithful. He's concerned with you and I. He wants us to be able to serve him. That's why he does what he does. His desire has always been to let my people go, that they may serve me. And there is nothing better on this face of the earth than serving God. Nothing better. God has made a lot of things for us. God, with that, we just say, God, we want to hear your voice. Lord, it comes through connecting with your word, praying about the words that we read and hear and see, and then listening to the next step, the next voice, the next impression in our heart, the next thing. God, help us. Help us to know that our Redeemer lives and his purpose is for our freedom and our welfare. So, Lord, help us conquer all the things that are in our life by knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. He has our welfare in mind. Praise God.